Such an opportunity to be together, to honor him in song and approach him in prayer, to give as he has benefited us in this life, and to remember his son's death for our redemption as a sacrifice for our sins. You know, I did remember what I wanted to say in class about that. We were talking about the Lord's Supper. You know, we haven't seen the full deliverance, have we? But we trust the Lord. We have faith. You know, Israel, when they killed the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, they hadn't yet seen the deliverance. They'd seen mighty works of God, but they were still in Egypt. They had to have faith in what God was about to accomplish. They had to believe that if they would put the blood on the doorpost, their firstborn would not die. They had evidence to convince them to do that. They had faith that compelled them to do that, and God gave them deliverance from the bondage of sin. In a very similar way, we have not seen Jesus personally, but we believe he is in fact the Son of God, that he died on a cross for the sins of the world, that he was a sacrifice that God accepted, so that we, rather than the enemies of God, doomed to death in our sin, and be released from that, saved from, delivered from the bondage of sin and death, and brought into an eternal inheritance. Neither have we seen heaven, and yet, though not yet having seen, we believe. And we are, as Tanner said, going to talk about faith this morning, Noah's faith, but it's about our faith as well. And as we read from God's Word about Noah, let's keep that in mind. You know, Noah, the story of Noah to many is very familiar, but it may be that some are not very familiar with Noah. And we want to bring this information out so that we can understand from God's Word out, so that we can not only appreciate what happened, but that we can understand its relevance to our lives. That the flood of Noah's day was God's judgment against sin. The text that Gary read for us contained that point. And that the world had become exceedingly corrupt, that every intent of the thought of the heart was only evil every day. And yet Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And so we find a wonderful illustration, as we're going to see in our study, of a salvation by grace through faith. God's grace and our faith will bring us to deliverance out of the judgment of sin, which is death, eternal death, and separation from God. If you're not a Christian this morning, this is the day to become a Christian. This is the moment to come out of the old world of sin and be born again, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, delivered from sin and death, and have an inheritance of eternal life. Today is the day, as Christians, if our faith has turned away from the Lord and has not been true to Him, to return to Him in fullness of faith and repentance toward Him, confessing our sin to Him. So whether Christians or your need to become one, we hope that you'll use today as the opportunity to be right with God and to have His blessings in your life now and every day until that great day of eternity and then forevermore. Noah, his faith, it stands out. It's very bold, and as we think about it, and it's not something hidden in a corner. That it was very apparent and obvious for 100 years as he was building the ark. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen." And there's the point. Things not yet seen. No one had seen a worldwide flood. No one had seen this gigantic ark he was about to build. Nothing like it, ever. But God warned him of things not yet seen. And so by faith, moved with godly fear, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Noah's name means comfort. It means rest. When he was born, his father Lamech gave him this name in Genesis 5 and verse 29. He called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." And so Lamech saw in his son one who would bring comfort to the immediate difficulties of existing on this earth through the toil of their hands and sweat of their brow. But he became so much more than that. He becomes one who would obtain rest from sin's curse. And from his great illustration of faith, not only he, but of course his family benefited in their own faith as well, and Noah's. But that after that, all of mankind, you and I, to this very day, are comforted because of what happened with Noah. Because you see, the rainbow in the sky is a sign that God made a covenant with the world, with humanity, that He would never again flood the earth in judgment. Flood waters would never be the instrument God would use to judge and condemn the world as He did in the day of Noah. That's comforting. We don't have to think that, you know, the oceans are going to rise and they're going to consume us all. We hear those messages sometime today. Reframed, recast. But we have rest and comfort because we know that's not going to be the way God judges the world and condemns it. In fact, Peter said the flood is just a type of the fact that God has now reserved this world that came out of the flood. He's reserved it for fire. So God has plans for this world, but it's not water. We're comforted when we see. Aren't you comforted when you look at the rainbow? Oh, I know it's pretty. It's glorious to watch. But remember the covenant God made. That's God's assurance and a sign to all of us from generation to generation. But Noah is also a comforting example of justification by faith. How are we saved by faith? Well, the life of Noah shows us how we are saved by faith. How he was pronounced not guilty. He said he became an example for us. By faith, Noah. He said he became an example of what it means. He shows us what it means to have justification. He's an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now that's comforting. Because we can look at Noah and many others and we can learn the kind of faith that God wants us to have. And we'll make that application as we go through. In fact, in the 11th chapter, we have many such examples leading us to chapter 12 when it says, "Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Brethren and friends, I want you this morning to consider that Noah is in that cloud that encompasses us, that surrounds us. Noah is there. And that he is a witness to us. He bears testimony to us of salvation by faith. And so he says, as a result, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Noah is in that cloud of witnesses that testifies the comforting message of the gospel that we, those sinners, can be justified by faith. And we can use Noah's life to teach us what that means. Three simple points about Noah this morning. Noah had great faith in an unbelieving world. In a faithless world, Noah had great faith. The text is, it just lays out the problem very clearly to us in Genesis, the 6th chapter. Verse 2 of chapter 6 says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives of them of all whom they chose. Now, his context goes back into chapters 4 and 5. The sons of of God were those who descended from Seth and continued to call on the name of the Lord. Chapter 4:26. But there were others who refused to call upon the name of the Lord, and their daughters or the sons of God became attracted, allured by the daughters of men. They focused upon them. They saw them. They wanted them. They became indifferent to their spiritual heritage and their call from God to call upon His name. And so with lustful hearts, they turned away from God and the will of God to their own internal desires, the intent of the thought of their hearts. That began to consume them. The gospel warns us, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. The world there means the system of evil that opposes God. Do not love those things that cause us not to call on the name of the Lord. Those who do not call on the name of the Lord, they oppose God. They live in this world or system of evil. He says, don't love the world or the things of it. Because anyone who loves the world has the love of the world. The love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. That's what we see in the days of Noah. To such an extent that in grieving God's heart, God says, I'm sorry I made man. God is grieved by sin. He's grieved by my sin, by your sin, by the world's sin. Sin got so bad. The lives were so evil, so corrupt. Violence and corruption, oppression. God says, I'm going to destroy the world. And, of course, with the flood, He did. Reminding us of the days of the Gentiles in Romans 1 and of this present evil age in which we live. Evil finds a place in the hearts of people. And it's from the heart that the conduct then proceeds in those things that are unrighteous and unholy and evil, bringing destruction, bringing judgment.
But here's the point for us. It takes great faith to constantly face the pressures of a corrupt society and remain pure. Noah did that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the text says. And then verse 9, it says, Noah was a just man. He was an upright man. He was blameless. He had integrity in a world that was blamable, that was evil, that was defiled. Imagine the faith it took for Noah to live day by day by day in that kind of a world. And you know, Christians in the first century and the 21st century are confronted with the same battle. When the Bible says, fight the good battle, the good fight of faith, when the Bible talks about that we're in a battle, we take up the armor of God, our fighting is against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It was then too. The devil was going about the earth seeing whom he could capture. And he captured all the world except Noah and seven other souls, his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife. Faith that it takes to be a person of faith in a faithless world. Our children need it. They have to face it. Our young people, as we prayed about this morning, need faith in a faithless world to understand and know that God created male and female. And man tries to manipulate that into something else. To understand and know there is a God. In a world that denies His very existence and therefore denies His standard of truth, of right and wrong, and how it ought to affect our decisions in our lives. Our children need the example of faith in our lives to help teach them faith and to have the courage of faith to face the pressures of a faithless world and stay pure. Because it ultimately becomes a choice that we make. We make and choices that they will make. Look, in Philippians 2, the gospel encourages us. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're called upon to shine as lights in the world, and a world that is crooked, perverse, twisted. Everything's upside down. Wrong is right and right is wrong. As Isaiah said in his day, it was as well. So it is now, and so it will ever be in this world when people love it instead of God. But Christians, like Noah, are to have great faith and endure. Philippians 1:27, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, let the way that you live be in harmony with what the gospel says. With the good news that the Son of God died to deliver you from sin. Not so you can live in it, that you can be a part of it. He said, let your conduct magnify, be worthy of the gospel. That's a probing question for us. We have to ask ourselves that question. Am I living in a way that's worthy of the gospel? And if not, I need to repent. I need to obey Jesus. I need to change my conduct. Not say it doesn't matter. A flood was brought in judgment. The world's reserved for fire. A judgment's coming. But deliverance is available. A way of escape, as Noah received, through faith. Paul went on to write, I want to hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We must strive, brethren, for the faith of the gospel. Noah lived great faith in a faithless world. We can too. We must. Jesus enables us to. By His grace, by God's grace, through our faith. Just as Noah obtained grace, God's Word comes to us, which is a word of grace. You know, it's important, isn't it, to see that when Noah found grace, God spoke a word of grace to him and He gave him a commandment to obey. He wanted him to trust Him and obey Him. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I want you to note that, because that's very important about our salvation being justified by faith. Grace, in a word, that when we trust and obey, God saves. But look, secondly, Noah had great faith to preach a message of righteousness. He's called a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. A proclaimer of righteousness. Of things unseen, as we've already noted. Genesis 6:17, God tells him, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. By the way, it's a worldwide flood. Verse 17, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life. Everything that's on the earth shall die. This is not a local flood. This is not the Nooksack rising and giving some localized flooding out here on the roads. This is a worldwide flood. It reached above the mountaintops, as the text goes on to tell us in Genesis chapter 7 and 8. Chapter 7 later. Unseen things. He proclaimed righteousness within a context that God's going to judge unrighteousness. But that there's a way of being upright. Now, think about that. For 100 years, according to the chronology given, he's preaching this message as he's building this ark. Be saved. Be righteous, no longer oppressed. Be just, be true, be honorable, be fair, be equitable, be kind, be generous. These are the elements of being upright to your fellow man, to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your parents, to a stranger. Be upright. Why should I do that, Noah? I'm going to live for myself. I've only got one life. I'm going to live for myself first. I'm going to be true to who I am. Be true to you. Oh, That's like yesterday's newspaper, isn't it? Young people are told that in the universities all the time. You be true to you. And not just the universities. Elementary and secondary schools. Elementary, junior high, and high school. Before you ever get to college. Movies say it. Music says it. TV says it. Internet says it. Twitter says it. TikTok says it. Facebook says it. You name it. The world says it. It's proclaiming a message, and it ain't a message of righteousness. But Noah, he stood alone. You think they ever laughed at Noah? You know the answer to that. That's a rhetorical question.
You think they ever cursed him? Defiled him in some way? Most likely.
Well, you see, brethren, the fact is the gospel contains a message about things we haven't seen. And it challenges faithless people to form faith, to become a believer. It gives evidence and testimony that assures us that its message is true, that in fact, it's not from man that man could not conceive of this. But God did, and God executed it. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, of the gospel he preached. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 9, Paul, in describing the word of the cross that he preached, that we preach, he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The wisdom that was hidden, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the worlds, or before the ages, for our glory. God ordained, God set in place this message of wisdom that we are speaking before the world ever was created. None of the rulers of this age knew this message, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God prepared a message, a good news of deliverance from sin's eternal death. Noah is preaching, turn away from your sin, be righteous, judgment is coming. And he was that message. Said, well, we haven't seen anything like you. Noah, you're out of your mind. The world's going to be flooded. 1 Peter 1:5 through 9. Peter talks about our eternal inheritance, and within that text he says that we are being kept by the power of God through faith, guarded by faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We've not yet seen the full extent of our salvation. It's going to be revealed in the last time when Jesus returns. And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. But the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says, face the distress now. Recognize there's grief right now because you choose to stand apart from the world. To stand apart and walk by faith. He says, that's going to purify you. Though tested, you're going to be found to the praise and honor and glory of Christ when He comes. Whom having not seen, you haven't seen Jesus, but you love Him. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing and rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Here's the purpose. Here's the final result of your faith. The salvation of your souls. Oh, that men had believed Noah when he preached. But they didn't believe. The door was shut. The waters rose. And then, too late they believed. They were drowned. They were judged, condemned in their sin. Well, brethren, you see, the gospel calls us to live righteously and proclaim righteousness in the face of unrighteousness. The word of the cross, a word of grace, God's word of grace is revealed, bringing salvation to all men. instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. It teaches us to wake up, to clean up, and to grow up. To put on the Lord Christ, Jesus, to make no provision for the flesh, Paul said, Romans 13. Make no provision for the flesh. Live righteously. That's the message we preach. It's the message Paul told Timothy to preach. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. And every one of us, as Christians, believing that message, we then need to become skilled in using it, living it. To not simply be a babe in our faith, but to develop to the meat of the word. That is, it says, those who are full grown exercise their senses to know the difference between good and evil. So, God's word being preached is a good thing, but if I don't receive it into my heart and use it to discern what's good and what's evil, then really what's the preaching good for? It hadn't benefited me. God wants it to benefit me. He wants me to take the word into my heart and let it mold the intents of the thoughts of my heart. When Noah preached, people wouldn't receive that message of righteousness into their heart. And so they continued in their sinful oppression of others and their rejection of God. Well, today we live in a world where we think people just don't respond like they used to the message, to the gospel. We may not see very many results, but bless your heart, we see more results than Noah did. Don't we? He preached for 100 years. He saved his family. No one else believed. We may see little results, but don't get discouraged. Persevere. Endure. Keep on proclaiming and living righteousness. God's word will not return unto him void. It will accomplish the reasons for which he sends it. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. God's word will have its effect in your life. It will strengthen and secure you, keep you, guard you in your faith, as it did Noah and his family. We have to persevere like he did and trust in the power of God. Trust in the power of faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Do we believe it? Faith will overcome the world. It's the victory. Because you see, you and I can't overcome our sin in our life. We can't defeat sin without the grace of God and faith in Jesus. Right? We can't save ourselves. But God can save us, just as He saved Noah from the judgment of sin, delivering us into eternal life. And that brings us to our third point. Noah had great faith to complete his task. 100 years. Can you imagine at the beginning of that 100 years? How many days is that? Quick. I know my brother's already got the answer. He's the number sense guy. What is it? 100 times 365. You know how many days that is? If I got it right, it's 36,500 days. 36,500 days. That might not sound a lot, except if that's 100 years, I've just gone about half of that so far. A little more than that. You guys around 50, you're about halfway there. And he was 500 years old when he started building, by the way. See, he kept on doing what God told him to do. Specifically, for 100 years, he kept on doing what God wanted him to do. Couldn't you imagine about 75 years saying, "Lord, I'm never going to finish this. I don't know I'm never going to get there. Or why do I need to do this? I've done it year after year after year after year. Why do I need to keep doing it? Why do I need to keep coming to that worship service year after year after year? Well, let's make it real, right? Well, God didn't tell you and me to build an ark, but He told us to do some things, didn't He? And we're tempted because of the time frame to become negligent or apathetic or doubtful or discouraged, you see. But the Bible tells us that everything God commanded him, he did. Genesis 6 and 22, it said, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Well, now, what did he tell Noah to do? If you're not aware or you've forgotten, what does it say? It says, well, build an ark. Make an ark for yourself and make rooms in the ark. Make it out of gopher wood. Cover it inside and out with pitch. It's going to be 450 feet long, converting the numbers there from cubits to feet. Going to be 450 feet long. Going to be 75 feet wide. It's going to be 45 feet high. I know some of you have visited the ark over in Kentucky. Several of you have. I suspect it's pretty impressive. You begin to wrap your mind around just what it took to build such a thing. It's amazing. Put a window and so forth and make three decks. So, you know, the size is over 1 million cubic feet, which would be over 500 railroad stock cars. You know, I'm trying to remember something. I get a reference point today, and we got all these tankers out there, these shipping cargo ships out in the Pacific, you know, and they talk about how much tonnage and they hold and all that. To try to wrap ourselves, our minds around this, that out of gopher wood, for 100 years, he builds this enormous ark, an enormous task. But he built it because of his great faith. He was moved with godly fear, Hebrews 11:7 says. Moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark. Well, that's what's to move us, isn't it? The whole of our existence is to fear God and keep His commandments, Ecclesiastes 12:13. But more than that, or in addition to that, Noah wasn't a shipbuilder. He had no prior experience in that. See, how am I going to do that? Oh, I'm just not worthy to follow Jesus. Or I've never tried that before. Or I'm not able to accomplish that. He didn't say any of those things. And we shouldn't either. Just remember, experts built the Titanic. Amateurs built the ark. Faith. You see, the Bible says we can do all things God wants of us. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. But we have to be moved with godly fear as well. And it's not about saying, oh, well, I can never keep it perfect, so I'm just not going to try. It's about just obeying God and trusting Him. And when we sin, we repent. Jesus never said, now, you got to be sinless. No, we already passed that mark a long time ago. We've all sinned. What He said is, now put your trust in me and obey me. He didn't say ignore sin. He said overcome it by faith. 1 John 5:4. Overcome the world. Strength of God, strength of Jesus, and the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, except be a faithful Christian. It's just too hard. Yeah, we have a task. It's a big task. I'm not going to minimize it. It's a big task to be a faithful Christian. But if Noah could build an ark in 100 years, we can be faithful Christians for 60 and 70, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. Sure we can. Strong in the grace of Christ. Paul said, by the grace of God I am what I am. We are all of us what we are by God's grace. And so we trust His grace and we obey His commandments in faith to meet day by day the tasks that we have. We have, every day we have to overcome temptations. Every day we have to endure some trial in our life. Every day we need to be teaching the gospel, doing that in our families, in our homes, to others. Every day we need to be faithful to endure to the end. Because you see, it only takes one day to start turning away from Jesus, to fall away from Him, and to choose another path. Every day we need to run the race, finish the course, keep the faith. And we can do that. Noah shows us how. To be faithful parents, faithful spouses, faithful neighbors, faithful Christians. The task is not too big. We learned that from Noah. Let me close with you by us going to 1 Peter 3, 18 through 21, as we offer the Lord's invitation. You see, like Noah, you can escape the old world of sin and be saved from sin's corruption. In that passage, Peter writes about the days of Noah and how it affects us today. He said, beginning in verse 18, Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. In other words, He suffered for us, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom He also went and preached to spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. You see, when Noah was the preacher of righteousness, it was the Spirit of Christ that was proclaiming that message of righteousness. Those spirits, though, they're now in prison. Why? Because they were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. God waited 100 years. There was the message being preached of righteousness. And God waited while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype that now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism, he says, now saves us. The way God saved Noah through water, God uses water to save us. Watch. It's an escape from the old world of sin and death. God waited during the flood. Noah preached righteousness till the door was shut and the floods came in judgment against sin. Now God waits. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. He says, verse 10 says, the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. God's waiting. He wants us to repent. Judgment's going to come. The flood assures us of that. But Noah teaches us how we can escape sin and death. Eternal death. He said, in faith, be baptized. Because see, trust God's Word to do what God says and God will deliver you. Just like He did Noah. That's the faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to be well-pleasing to God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You see, Noah is the exact first example used to teach us what verse 6 of Hebrews 11 means. We've got to have faith to please God. A faith of those who seek Him. And then he says, like Noah. Like Noah. Do you have faith like Noah? We're going to have faith like Noah or we will be lost in our sins. You can have faith like Noah. God calls us to that faith. To hear His Word and obey it. And by doing so, to be saved, delivered from sin and death, brought into a new world, one cleansed of sin, a new life, a new creature in Christ. To be a faithful Christian from this day forward. We want to encourage you to be saved by the power of God, by His grace, through your faith. Won't you come to the gospel of Jesus and be saved while we stand, while we sing?